We had an amazing weekend, Friday night through about noon yesterday, and we had a delightful time, and men were touched, and things happened, and words were spoken from God, and it was just exciting. Steve comes from, as I mentioned, the Duluth area, Cloquet area, if you're familiar with that area, Carlton. We're just delighted, and we're not going to take a lot of time, but Steve has a word for us. And just welcome Steve Tucker to COC, will you?
Praise the Lord, this is loud.
So are you.
You may want to turn it way down because I might get excited. You know. Praise God. What an honor to be in the house of the Lord. Yes. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And my natural gifting from the Lord is to lead worship and to spend time in His presence. And there's just something that happens to me there. I don't know what it is. It's just an awesome place to be. And if you're trying to find your niche, get into the presence of God.
Come on.
If you're trying to find where you fit in, get in the presence of God. And boy, there's no greater place to be at peace. The world can be falling down all around you when you get in the presence of God, and it just doesn't seem to matter anymore.
Come on.
Amen? Amen. It just doesn't seem to matter anymore. Just a little brief bio. I met my high school sweetheart in 1982, or actually 1981. We began to see each other in 1982, got married in 1986. You had up the years. We've been together almost 30 years. We just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary just last year. God has blessed us with 5 amazing children, 4 daughters, and a good-looking son. Now, how did you put it, Kirk?
Full of handsomeness.
Full of handsomeness and humility. He's been a blessing. He's traveled with me for years and years and years. And it's been a tough year for me because he's working 2 jobs and going to Bible school this year. And so he has not been able to be on a lot of the trips that I'm going on. And so it's such a blessing for me to have my son with me today. And can we just stretch our hands towards heaven just for a minute? And just, I know the Holy Spirit's here. God is at work. But I want you, without me, to just invite the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life today. Audibly just tell Him, just come today, Holy Spirit, have your way. Just have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Lord, cleanse my mind of anything that's cluttered my closet today, Father God. Cleanse my heart, Lord, from anything that's impure. Anything that could distract me, Lord, from what you want to do in my life today, I release it to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 12 says that they overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amen?
Amen.
That's not good enough. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There's fire in Sisseton today. Only in church could you sing the song, there's fire, fire, fire in the house, and not expect the fire department to show up. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good?
Yes.
In Haiti we say, bon Dieu, bon tout à. It means God is good all the time. Not just some of the times, not just on Sunday morning, but all the time. Amen? And I have no idea what I'm doing this morning. I just want the Holy Spirit to have His way. I've got like 6 messages that we could go down that trail if the Lord brings us there. But as we're leading worship, I don't want to embarrass anybody. How many know the Holy Spirit's a gentleman?
Amen.
He really is. He loves you so much. And but I'm just going to say it like it is. I told the guys that this weekend. And Lord, give me something to say. I even questioned it a couple times. Oh, Lord, should I really say that? But I won't say anything that I don't feel the Lord's really telling me to say. But there's somebody here. Lord, give me a vision. I didn't see your face. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. and you're really struggling. You've been wanting to quit smoking. And if I'm off base, that's okay. Maybe you know somebody. But you've been wanting to quit smoking, and you've been really struggling with that. In fact, you might even be smoking in the closet, like so many of our friends do. And God wants to deliver you from that today. And I actually saw you vomiting cigarettes. I could see that coming out. It's a spirit that's got a hold of your life. And anything that is not of the Spirit of God does not belong in His temple. Amen. Come on, do you hear me? Yes. How many know that we are the temple of the living God? Yes. And that can distract us. And I'm not saying it's going to drive you to hell. But I am saying it's distorting your life. First of all, it's expensive. And if you'd quit that, man, just think the finances you would have to be able to bless the kingdom of God with, first of all. And second of all, you'd probably make your family happier because you'll probably live longer. The lungs actually begin to rejuvenate almost immediately after you quit smoking. And I don't know if it could be somebody chewing even. I used to be a chewer. I used to be at least a one-plug-a-day guy. And there's more nicotine in three cans of chew per week than there is in a two-pack-a-day smoker. And I know these things because. So I just want to encourage you. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if that's you, you can come up to me later, or you can go to Pastor Dwight. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead can surely draw that thing out of your system. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't want to embarrass you, Kirk, but the Lord gave you a word this weekend and you didn't share it. But I wouldn't embarrass you. Hallelujah. God is good. A little bit of history. I told you that I've been married to my wife and the only woman. And I realize that some of the places that we go, that I'm kind of a minority. I'm very thankful for her. We prayed for her this morning. She has been sick, been ill. But God's really done a breakthrough just in the last week with removing some fear, and I believe that by the time I get home, she's going to tell me that God's really touched her physically as well. And we do a lot of missions work. We've been traveling for many years, and since 2006, mainly in the country of Haiti, some in the country of Trinidad. We've also been in Nepal, Mexico, Amazon jungles of Peru, and as the Lord lays it on my heart, I will share some of those experiences with you this morning. But I don't know if, would you like to see a few pictures? Would that be okay? You want to throw on either a video or something? I don't want to take a lot of time. I want the Holy Spirit to work this morning. But anyways, let's not get churchy. Let's continue in the spirit of love this morning and let the Holy Spirit have His way. We do all kinds of outreaches. We do men's retreats. We have guys come from many states. We pray for the sick. I believe what it says in the Word, to call forth the elders and leaders of the church, lay hands upon them, pray over them, and they shall be healed. Amen. Amen. They shall be set free. A big part of our ministry is music, worship, prophetic worship. God's gifted my wife with the song of the Lord. It's amazing. Some of the stuff that comes out of her mouth, we kind of look at each other like, wow, did the Lord really speak that? And it's awesome. Here we're building a new clinic in Haiti. That's me running a Haitian backhoe. This is the footings. It's been one of our visions, especially since the earthquake. There's been so much destruction, and we take many trips a year. We're not living there. It's just so costly, so hard. But we take between 4 to 6 trips down there a year, and we stay anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months at a time. And this is some of the homes that we've built. It's in the process there. Am I blocking you? I'm sorry. I just thought about that. I had a Steve moment. There's Zach running hammer drill. We had to teach them how to build the way we do, using plenty of rebar and a lot of cement. They have a tendency to put more sand than they do cement into their concrete mix, and that's why it crumbles and falls apart. And it's very difficult to actually get lumber, but we do manage. I hauled these windows down from the States here. We've sent a few containers down now. There's my wife doing some medical work on someone. I'm not really sure. That's a house back there. That can be your retirement home if you'd like. We can make arrangements for you there. This is my two youngest daughters in the country of Trinidad. On the left is our exam room, and the right is our dental office. And this is our bunk room. Inside the clinic up until May of this last year, we were still living in tents down there, which is kind of hard to do for longer periods of time. But the name of our ministry is Bridge Builders International. We want to build a bridge of compassion to the nations. Amen. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Mark chapter 16. How many believe that the Word of God is still alive? It is living. It's a verb. It's not a noun. It is alive. That means that it is still tangible for today. Amen. And let's turn to verse 15. Jesus is speaking, and he says to go into all the world. What does all the world mean?
Everywhere.
Good. That's what I wanted to hear. Everywhere. So does that mean that it's down here at the local diner?
Yes.
Does that mean it's at the sale barn?
Yes.
Does that mean it was you're driving down the road trucking somewhere? It means everywhere, doesn't it? Not just overseas. Does that mean at your turkey dinner on Thanksgiving when you have family over?
Yes.
It does, doesn't it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And this is so cool. God is so cool, isn't he? God is so cool. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will, read it with me aloud, cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Amen? They will take up a serpent. They will drink anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the who?
Sick.
And what's going to happen?
Recover.
And who's this for?
Us.
Anyone who believes. I think it's so cool that God says, if you believe in me, man, you can cast out demons. You can heal the sick. You can speak in a new tongue, praise to God. And when you lay hands on people, they're going to recover. What's that require? That requires getting rid of the fear, doesn't it? That the guys talked about. I thought it was so cool how the Lord worked this weekend, because I was going to speak on something totally different. And God just directed me another way. Can we turn this down just a little bit? I got some howling there. And this is the biggest thing that holds us back as Christians, is the fear factor. We don't realize. I think when Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, he says this. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We take it for granted what God's done in our life. And I shared it this weekend with the men. I said, in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River, the Lord spoke to them and said, set up a monument of stones so you never forget where I've brought you from. I think we need to go back to where God has brought us from, where we are at, what we are like, and what we are doing, and where we were headed the day before we accepted Jesus into our life. We just take it for granted. No, that's the greatest miracle. That was a good amen. It's the greatest miracle that God saved me. And the Bible says that he loved you before you even could think about loving him. That's a horrendous miracle. But then it doesn't stop there. He says, okay, you believe in me, you accept me, I'm going to empower you, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit if you're willing to receive it, I'm going to give you the ability to lay on the hands on those that are sick and see them healed. I believe that in Isaiah 61, when Jesus spoke it, if we believe that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us, amen, then we can believe that Isaiah 61 infiltrates our life and says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Say it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And has anointed me, say it, and has anointed me to what? Preach the gospel, set the captives free, heal the brokenhearted, amen? Proclaim that this year, 2012, is the acceptable year of the Lord, praise the Lord.
Yes. Come on.
I spoke to the men about listening to all kinds of other voices. And some of the guys even admitted, yeah, I listened to way too much talk radio. I watched too much of this. We listened to the wrong things. In the Old Testament, you know where they got their information from? The prophet of God. Yeah. And it was the prophet of God wrong? No. When the Lord of the Lord spoke, he had two options. Either follow me and live or don't follow me and die. Why should it be any different today? We wonder why we're not blessed, why we're not healed, why we're not flourishing, why we're struggling all the time, because we really haven't surrendered our life. Why? Because of the fear. And we got to say, Lord, forgive me. Let's get rid of this junk. Let's get rid of, like Tony said, I want this out of here. I want this to be gone. That's what we have to do. We have to, first of all, admit it and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to release it. I wrote a song a couple years ago. It's called Trust the Lord. It's very simple. You could sing it with me right now because it's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on what? This? Your own understanding? And in all your ways acknowledge him and he will what? Direct your paths. But that takes guts. It takes coming out of their box. It means, okay, no longer shall I trust in MasterCard. No longer shall I trust in my job. No longer shall I trust in my medical insurance. Come on. No longer shall I trust in my 401k. No longer shall I trust in my natural skills, my natural abilities. I'm going to trust God with everything. Come on. And everything means everything. And when we do that, we totally surrender our life, don't you think that he's capable, if we surrender these things and we pour these things out of ourselves that's really not of him, that he has the ability to fill us up with something better?
Amen.
He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, okay? So all we got to tell is tell people, hey, this is what God did in my life. And let them decide if they want to hear it or not. Paul says that I planted, Apollos watered, and someone else got the increase. Who cares? Man, tell, give a testimony. Encourage the body of Christ. Encourage those who need encouragement, whether they know Jesus or not. Tell them, hey, man, let me tell you what happened. Our car was broke down. We didn't have anything. Didn't have no money in the bank. And I thought, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to pray. God, I need a vehicle. I got to get to work this week. And you know what? God provided a vehicle. Tell somebody that and see what they do. I was preaching in Duluth, Minnesota 2 years ago. And this really gruff lady walked in right in the middle of us preaching. The Lord laid on my heart, I want you to minister to her. I said, oh, Lord, she looks bad. She looks mean. I don't really want to do that, Lord. Lord says, no, I want you to love her. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. You know, you ever debate with the Lord, anybody besides me? Man, I think, oh, Lord, do I really have to? Yes, you do. So thinking, how can I minister this lady? She's just like this. You know. Do you remember that? Oh, she was just, oh, Lord. So much easier to pray for a guy like that that smiles all the time, you know. But she come into the church, and I had been praying, and I know this is how the Lord sets us up. Be careful what you pray for. I said, Lord, help me to see people the way that you do. Oh, ouch. And so I asked the Lord to forgive me, first of all, because I couldn't preach anymore because I had two things going on in my mind. That's really hard to do. I'm not a really good multitasker. You know, most of us guys are not. You know, us guys only use half our brain. You know, that's what's really hard. That's a medical fact. Don't tell anybody, but we only use half our brain. So, and women have the ability to use all of it and then some. I don't know how they do it. But anyways, so I got this debate going in, must have been on this side, and I'm trying to keep focus on what I'm speaking on this side, and the Holy Spirit's tugging at my heart. So I really got three things going on. So I settled with the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, as soon as I'm done preaching, I'll be happy to do what I can do. And so the Lord told me, I want you to minister to her. Well, praying for somebody is one thing, but when he tells me to go fill her car with gas, thinking, oh my goodness, now you're really stretching me, Lord. So I went up to her and I said, the Lord wants me to tell you to follow me with gas. What? The Lord wants me to put some gas in your car. What? The Lord told me that I need to take you to the gas station and fill your car. Why? I mean, this is exactly how she was. She was just gruff, you know. And so I loaded up our equipment. The kids, Zach's our main guy who packs our music gear and everything. He had everything loaded. And I thought, well, surely they'll ask us out to eat somewhere so I won't have to really do this. And no. They didn't ask us out to eat. So I said, okay, well, if you would just be kind enough to follow me to the gas station. So now this lady is pretty gruff. I think I expressed it. Did I tell you she was pretty rough looking? But the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, has anointed me to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. So I had her follow me to the gas station, and she's got this big old Chrysler. It's like from the mid-70s, so I know it's got the 150-gallon gas tank in it. I said, let's put some gas in your car. She said, all right. So she opens up the thing, and she stops at 5 miles. She says, there. I said, well, that's not going to get you very far, will it? No. I said, well, let's put some more in it. I said, let's get you where you need to go. I said, just go ahead and fill it up. What? And I said, yeah, just go ahead and fill it. Just whatever you need to do, just fill it. And as the car was being filled, I was praying, the Lord begin to fill her. And I want you to know, this is the gospel truth. As the gas tank began to be filled, her countenance changed. She began to weep. The Spirit of the Lord God was filling her. You see, it was a sacrifice for me. It cost me something. It cost me more to fill her gas than what I got for an offering that week. And I still had to fill my own vehicle, you know. But God spoke to me to do something. I stepped out in faith. I walked in boldness. I was led by the Spirit. I did what the Lord said here when he said to go preach the gospel to all nations, even the unlovely, even the ugly, even the ones that don't want to be helped. We still have an opportunity to minister life to them. And I'm telling you what, when she got done, she was weeping. She's, I can't believe this. I just, you know, and I prayed over her, and I've never seen her again, but I know that the pastor, that church told me they had been back. So praise God. I planted a seed. Amen. That's all I had to do is plant a seed. Someone else can water, and I'm believing God for an increase. I may see her someday in heaven and say, you know, I'm here because you put gas in my car.
That's right.
I told the men this week, and most of our ministry is not on the platform. You don't have to be a preacher. I'm sure not a good preacher. We don't have to be a good preacher. All we have to do is let the Spirit of God dwell within our hearts and be willing to open the tap of our life and let some of it come out. That was all appetizer. If you believe in me, signs and wonders will follow. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. How many appreciate the Word of God?
Yes.
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, when you confront people like that, what do we have in our ammunition? What do we have to be able to confront and combat that spirit that is antagonistic? They're not mad at you. You see that we should be carrying the Spirit of Christ with us so that conviction comes, not condemnation, not judgment, but let the Spirit of God work through you. Just like it says in the Word, when Peter would walk by people, what happened? Just his shadow alone the spirit would come out of him and they were healed. That's a big challenge for us, especially today, because I can't speak for ladies, I've never been a woman, but men, we like to keep stuff boxed up, we like to figure it out, we like to work things out on our own, we want to be in control, we want to fix it if it's broke. If it isn't broke, we'll take it apart to see how it's working, and then we end up messing it up. So, you know, am I right on or am I right on? It's the spiritual songs. The Holy Spirit is really a composer, and he's ready to enable and expand our ministry through his presence in our life. And so there's times where we are places and I'm facing adverse situations, and the only thing I can do, remember I talked about this a minute ago, is get in the presence of God. My heart's telling me something else. My mind's really telling me something else. My emotions are telling me something else. But I have to force my will. I have to make myself get there. And so it becomes a sacrifice of praise. It becomes something that is unnatural because we have to make ourselves. It's a part of our will. God gave us a will, okay? And we need to change our thinking so that our will step into his category, into his direction, into his presence, so that he can work through us even through those adverse situations, amen? And so that we can be overcomers, more than conquerors, amen? And that he can use us through those adverse situations to walk in victory. That's the only way I can minister to that lady. I had to come out of myself, get in the presence of God and say, okay, Lord. And so I literally, when she was filling up her gas, I was praying in the Spirit and singing in the Spirit. I don't know what else to do. How many remember King David? When they were after him, he was living in caves. He was hiding out all the time. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. We know that he was a psalmist. He created thousands of instruments, wrote hundreds of songs. Don't you think he spent some time praising the Lord? Letting the Spirit of God rise up within him. And when Kirk was exhorting you this morning to dance before the Lord, that is scriptural.
Yes.
Come on. It really is. It's scriptural. What really blows me away, it's kind of hard for me when I'm holding that big guitar. You know, I try to, you know, I do the best I can. But what really blows me away is we'll boo for the Vikings, we'll cheer for the Packers, we'll do it for somebody. You know, we'll get so excited. And let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Can anybody say praise the Lord? Yeah, praise the Lord, yeah. But really, what's it going to take in our lives? What more can he do than dying for us? What more can he do than getting beat beyond recognition? His own family couldn't even recognize him. What more can he do than to take every stripe, every man, this is Easter coming up, isn't it? Wow, just hit me. That they would throw that whip that has the cat of nine tails, which is literally like grizzly teeth made out of steel, and rip chunks of flesh out of his body. He did that for you. Now, what more can he do to make you get excited for him?
That's right.
Come on.
Yes.
True.
And we need to thank him. We need to praise him. We need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We can't take it for granted what he's done. And we got to get into the presence of God so we can be empowered to face every adverse situations. Jesus said in the end times, which I think we're getting pretty close there, that perilous times are coming. Okay? And the enemy is going to continue to attack. You think that he's not freaking out right now because he knows the time is near? He's already lost the battle, but he's trying to ruffle his feathers and still look big and look bad. But we have the power over him. Amen? We can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. It's our testimony that's going to bring people to freedom. People want to see the real deal. They want to see you and I. They don't want to listen to some TV guy. They don't even want to listen to me. They want to see you. They want to see what you do, how you react. They want to hear what God's done in your life.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, I was driving a team. I used to have teams of horses, and I had a 2,800-pound Belgian. We called him Samson because he was so big. He had a 36-inch collar, which is just massive. And for some reason, I had all the kids in a little, like, little snowmobile sleigh. It's the middle of summer, but who cares, you know? He's big enough. He could pull a semi. He was big. He had feet like this, and I would trim his. I had lots of horses. But anyways, we were going across the field in this little sleigh, and we got hooked into a piece of cable in the ground, and it flipped us upside down. All the kids went flying except for me. I had the daughter who's 14. She was 2. Must have been about 12 years ago now. In my arms, and it was like I knew something bad was going to happen, but I also knew that God was in control. It was really weird. It's like when people say when they roll their vehicle, how it rolled in slow motion, even though they're doing 90 miles an hour in the air, you know? It's just the weirdest thing. And I remember slow motion, laying her down in the grass like this. And at the same time, I'm looking at the horse, and I'm trying to hold on to the reins in this hand. And as it's being flipped over, the tugs and the chains were getting wrapped around my leg. And as he jerked, I could feel my legs come out of its socket. And I know that he must have sent Michael and a couple other big angels to stop that horse, because I did not have enough strength. He was so scared. He was literally shaken, because what happened when this rig flipped over upside down and hit him in the butt. And so, for some reason, he stopped. And God gave me enough strength to lay my daughter down, who was totally unconscious now. The other kids bailed off the back. And somehow, I was able to reach down and get, my leg was up here, get this chain off my leg. And at that very split second that I got that chain off, he jolted and took off and ran through some apple trees. Would have killed me. Of course, my kids are freaking out, and they went in and tried to call for help. And at the exact same time, my dad's in the basement of his house, and the Lord spoke to him to go outside on his bicycle and ride over to our house. My dad just lives kitty corner to us out in the country, and he said, "You need to get on your bike, and you need to go look for Steve." And he came, rode, and I'm laying in the ditch, and my leg is stuck back behind my head here, and I said, "Dad, I've got major injuries. You're gonna have to help me here." And I was a trauma nurse. I worked in the OR, and so I knew a thing or two about torn ligaments and joint dislocations and everything. And I said, "Dad, I know I've got multiple fractures." I said, "There's two things you got to help me do. You got to help me get over, and you got to help me keep me from going into shock. Because if I go into shock, I could die." And I said, "Juliana's unconscious. We got to get her." And we begin to pray in the Spirit. And I remember laying there. I just began to pray in the Spirit. I was singing in the Spirit. And he ripped me, rolled me back over, and my leg just went flop and popped back into joint, you know. And immediately there was major swelling and stuff. And by this time, the kids got a hold of my wife. We live 25 miles from the nearest hospital. And they brought me into the house. And make a long story short, I don't want to drag this on. Went into the hospital, and one of the orthopods that I worked for was on call. I actually called ahead to see who was on, because I wanted to decide which hospital to go to. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And on the way in there, we just began to pray in the Spirit. And I had a friend of ours who's a missionary way in northern Canada, ministers to an Ojibwe village up there. She happened to come by that day. They laid hands on me, anointed me with oil. Prayed for God to do a miraculous thing. And I went in there totally expecting to have multiple fractures, torn ligaments. And the surgeon looked at me and said, "Well, if we have to, we'll have to get your swelling down." He said, "But we can operate tomorrow." I said, "Oh, great, that's great news." Yeah. I'm continuing to try to encourage myself in the Lord. They x-rayed my little girl. It's called a zygomatic bone, it's her cheekbone. We thought that was fractured, but praise God, nothing was wrong with her. She acts a little funny once in a while, you know. But she's absolutely fine. God just miraculously touched that girl. Absolutely miraculously touched her. Nothing was wrong. And I went in for an MRI and x-ray. First of all, they did x-rays. They came out and said, I can't believe there's no fractures. I said, there has to be. I felt bones moving. I said, see, there's no fractures. He said, we're going to do an MRI. Did an MRI. There was no torn ligaments. There was nothing ripped. 2 days later, I was walking on that leg in an air cast, but I was walking on it. And I gave God all the glory. And them surgeons still talk about it. You're the only guy that I know that's going to have me ripped half apart with a horse and still walk and still talk about it, you know. And I used that opportunity. And I believe it's because I immediately got in the presence of God. I don't know that for a fact, but I have to believe in my heart. I'm not going to let the devil steal what God did in my life that day. Let no one steal your crowns. Amen? Let no one steal what God's done in your life. When God delivers you from something, he delivers you from something. Amen? When he heals you, he heals you. When he sets you free, he sets you free. There's no halfway. It's all the way. He sets you free. I love that song. I am free to sing. I'm free to dance. Praise God. Because he who the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. Praise the Lord. Somebody say that's good.
That's good.
Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. And when they were singing in the Spirit and they were rejoicing, and they were in one accord in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, just like this, began to shake. And who was filled? All were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. See, only God can do that. Only God can do that. Do you hear that? Yeah. God is so cool. Only God can do that. I shared this testimony with the guys this weekend, and forgive me if some of it's repetitive for some of you guys, but when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I went with my dad. I was born a poor preacher's kid. I used to wear the remnants of his suits and stuff like this. My mom would make me clothing out of what was left over from doing him, so we were almost like, you know, identical twinlets. But I would follow my dad all over the place. I remember some awesome times with the Lord watching my dad pray for people. I learned so much. And I gave a scripture to I didn't even know these guys were related yesterday. Stan and Kirk, I had no idea. And I told you Luke, but it's actually Matthew chapter 4, guys. When Jesus sought out the disciples, he went and looked for Peter or for James and John. The Bible says they were working with their father, mending nets. There's a good message there. You need to study that out. They were working together. But I was working with my dad. I had no idea that it was God's way of preparing me. I was going to Bible school at 4 years old because I was watching my father pray for people, minister to people. And it wasn't fancy. It wasn't on a platform. He wasn't wearing a suit. It was nothing like that. It was just pure ministry. And we went into this hospital room. I was showing the guys, and there was a guy in there who was dying, and I could smell death. I never smelt it before, but I knew that's what it was. And my dad was talking to him, and he said, this dying man told my father, he said, Brother Tucker, he said, if you see my little finger wiggling, I'm praising the Lord. You see, we got to get in such confidence that the Spirit of God is within our life that no matter what comes against us, we can still overcome the enemy in our spirit man. Amen? Amen. Paul says that our outward man is perishing day by day, but the inner man can be renewed. Amen?
Amen.
Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says that he was in the inward part of the jail, the very inward part. And what happened? They begin to praise the Lord together. Begin to worship the Lord. I don't think it was just like, oh, hallelujah. I think they were really rejoicing, and the whole place was shaken, and the angel of the Lord came, and the chains were let loose, and they had the ability to flee. But what did they do? They said, no, we're going to stay here. They ministered to the jailer, and from there they were released, praise God, and they were able to go out into other parts of the world and minister the gospel. We need to decide to do that. We may be chained right now. Maybe we're struggling with something right now, but if we continue to worship the Lord through this adversary in our life, through these things that's going on in our life, God will set us free and give us a living, breathing testimony to proclaim the victory of Jesus Christ. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. They weren't sprinkled. They were filled. And out of them became to flow rivers of living water. They spoke the word of God with boldness. That doesn't mean maybe it's going to come right now. So don't get discouraged. If you don't go down here in front of Dairy Queen today and begin to boldly preach. But what you do need to do is step out in faith and say, Lord, lay one person on my heart that I can minister to. And maybe it's going to be something small. Like, my wife will just bake or make something for somebody once in a while, or she'll pick something up, Lord, will lay them on her heart, and that's her in. That's her way to get in. How many know what I'm talking about? You have to have a way to get into people's lives, get into their comfort zone so you can begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so whatever it takes for you to begin to step out in faith and say, Lord, show me. Show me what I can do, Lord. Show me who I can minister to. James says that if we lack wisdom, God will give it to us, amen, without making us feel embarrassed, without making us feel less, amen. You can read that in all kinds of translations, but that's basically what it means. You can ask God for help, and he'll give it to you, and he won't make you feel stupid for asking. There's a lot of times I don't have no idea what I'm doing. And I'll say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help this morning. I have no idea how to reach this group of people. But Lord, I believe what it says in Isaiah 55, that your word shall not return void. It shall accomplish what you want it to accomplish. It'll prosper in what you want it to prosper in. So Lord, I'm standing on that promise. And Lord, I may not be the best mouthpiece, Lord, but I'm willing to take a chance. I'm willing to take a gamble. I'm willing to go up to say to some guy I have no idea and say, hey, you know what? Can I buy your dinner? I've done that before. It's crazy. It's random. It's stupid. It's, but why not? If the Lord tells you to do it, then just do it. And what if you were the only Jesus that guy's ever going to see? And God gives you that opportunity. And you know what? It says in Matthew 7, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Don't give what God's given as holy to the dogs. If he's given you an opportunity to minister to somebody, and you say, they're not good enough. Oh, they're not big enough. Or they're too mean looking. You know, what if that's the opportunity that you miss? And he's going to say, well, hey, I gave you a chance, but you didn't want, I sent somebody to you. What if they were an angel actually in disguise? And really the Lord had in his mind to really overwhelm and overbless you.
Come on.
We were headed to Mexico a few years ago, and we got into South Oklahoma. And I shared with the guys I'd spent way more than our budget repairing our vehicle all the way down there. And so we stopped to eat something. It was at a Burger King. And so thank God for plastic because I was pretty much out of cash. So I went up to the lady I was going to pay for the breakfast, you know, and she kept on swiping the card. It wouldn't work. I said, well, I know it's good because there's no debt on it. It's paid off. I made sure it was paid off for going on this trip in case I had to have it. She said, well, it's not working. She said, well, just tell you what, just take your food and go and sit down and we'll square up after. So, okay. So we're sitting there. No, we were the only family, the only people in the whole restaurant. Nobody else, nobody behind us, nobody in front of us. And so she finally comes in the room. I says, I thought we were going to square up. Oh, she said, don't worry about it. The lady right next to you paid for it. I said, what? She says, yeah, that lady. I said, there was no lady there. And just as the words came out of my mouth, my wife looked at me. I looked at her. My gosh, there was a ministering angel that came and paid our bill. You see, God does that kind of crazy stuff. Why? Because he loves us. He can. He can. So when God speaks to your heart and tells you to give your favorite pair of boots away or tells you to give away your favorite vehicle or whatever, don't second guess it. If God really tells you to do it, take a chance. Take a chance. When you get in the river of giving and receiving with the word of God, and when you get into flow in that spirit, it's an awesome place to be. You shall never run dry.
That's right.
I'm not telling you to go charge a bunch of things and give them away. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just trying to encourage you to step out tiny in faith here. Try something different. If you want something you never had, then you got to do something you've never done. Amen? You want to see this place explode. If each and every one of you would take the initiative to say, I'm going to be a minister myself and just do with what God's already given me and begin to walk in that, I believe that you will see this place flourish. It shouldn't always have to be on pastor's shoulders to minister the word of God. Yes, he's the shepherd of this place. He's going to keep you in line. And I have a funny feeling that he listens to the voice of the Lord enough to know that there's something not quite doing it quite right. He's going to say something. Amen?
Yes.
But I also know that he loves you enough. You say, come on, guys, let's get out there and try some things. We have to let the Spirit of God work within us. We have to be willing to take a chance. And just like when you give a pep rally or a speech before you get into a ball game, that's kind of what it's like when you get in the presence of God. Say, okay, Lord, in myself I can't do it, but Lord, I can do all things through you who strengthen me. Oh, Lord, just help me through this time, Lord. If since you're for me, who cares who's against me? Lord, I praise you. I'm going to worship you. And before you know it, you get in the presence of God. You're singing a new song before the Lord. You're speaking in tongues, and the Holy Spirit begins to fill you. And you know what the next thing is going to happen? You're going to step out in faith and do something with boldness.
Amen.
That's the way it works. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. How many believe that this morning?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Final scripture here. Peter quotes Joel 2:28 in Acts chapter 2. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on this whole row and on this whole side and everybody in the back and everybody over here. It doesn't matter what race, what color, what sex, what nationality. If you're willing to open up your heart and receive the Spirit of God, he will pour his Spirit into you so that your old men will have dreams, your young men will see visions, and everybody can prophesy. Why? To edify the body of Christ, but yes, to empower us.
Amen. Yeah.
To empower us, to set us free. We should be duplicating ourselves. We should let the Spirit of God fill us up where we can be duplicating ourselves and going out and giving away what Jesus has done in our life.
Amen.
He never intended for us to hang on to it ourselves. He wants us to give it away. 10 years ago, you would have never caught me up here preaching. You would have never caught me in front of a group of people. I couldn't do it. I was scared to death. I was okay hiding behind a set of drums playing on the worship band. But there's no way I would stand up here. Until finally, I was in the Amazon jungle of Peru. I was with my son, Zach, and my father. And my father got sick. They said, well, you're preaching tonight. What? Yeah, you're preaching tonight. I said, I can't preach. My dad's going to be there. You got to understand, my dad is, he's one of my heroes. He really is, you know. He knows the word of God. He preached for 60 years. He started preaching to the cows. God set him free from that. Now he's preaching to the sheep. The Lord gave me a message on vision. And see, many times when I'm sharing from my heart, but I'm talking to myself, I begin to speak on vision. And Lord began to unravel things in my heart, unravel things in my mind that I've been battling for a long time, not feeling good enough, feeling I'm not smart enough, I don't have the ability to communicate to people. I mean, I fight insecurities just like all of us do. But greater is he who is in me than when it was in the world or in my mind. And I began to preach. And the Holy Spirit fell. And I gave an altar call, and my dad was the first one up there. No, he was saved. But he allowed things to creep into his life that the Holy Spirit convicted him of. We had people come forth and get saved that night. See, God was doing something. I told the guys this weekend, sometimes I can't even walk by faith. I have to crawl by faith. I was crawling by faith that day. I said, oh man, this is so far out of my comfort zone. I can hang from rafters. I can, you know, build things. I can go in the jungle where the snakes are. I can do all kinds of crazy things. But put me in front of people, Lord, don't do that to me. But I had to submit my flesh to the Spirit of God. As I began to preach, I began to sing in my mind some of the worship songs of encouragement and strength. I sang a new song of the Lord in my heart as I was preaching. I don't even know what all that I said. The Holy Spirit spoke through me. But from that day forward, God began to give me a voice to be able to share. It's still not always easy. But if God can do that for me, he surely can do that for you. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't cut and run anymore. Stay the course. Stand your ground. Decide right here, right now, that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to give a testimony, because we can overcome the accuser through the testimony of what Jesus has done in our life. Amen. Pastor.